The PGA Tour presents the fusion of golf, music, sports, and entertainment. Golf Talk America, streaming live on PGATour.com. Follow us today and every day on Twitter at Golf Talk America. Now, the Golf Talk America crew.
Hello, once again, everybody. Welcome to Golf Talk America. Tim Matthews in with you today. It is Friday, and we are coming right after the first round of the NFL draft. That gives you a reference to what's going on in the world. And yes, there are other sports happening other than the NFL draft, although you might not have known it had you watched the draft and the reaction everybody gave to it in Philadelphia. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. I'm coming to you from the Dallas studios. We have Steve Johnson, managing partner with Hank Haney Golf, joining us in just a moment to talk about what's going on in New Orleans at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans, the tournament that's happening right now on the PGA Tour, and all the other things happening in his world. And we know Steve's always got some hot opinions, and we'll get to those. Frank Bassett joins us from the ever-expanding home that he's redoing in the Nashville studios. Frank, how's everything going there? I don't hear any hammers and nails behind you, but no. You're almost finished with this project, aren't you, finally?
Who knows? This has been brutal. They're on their way, so they'll probably knock on the door halfway through the show. I'm in the studio that we built in the house, so hopefully everything will work
today.
I'm getting a Winnebago and a folding lawn chair like Trapper John had, and just don't travel the world. Travel tournaments, sit on top of it, be like Charles Kuralt, if anybody remembers him.
Just been a brutal experience.
It has.
Not only for you, but for everybody you know.
I know. Hey, did I tell you? I have new golf clubs.
Yeah, I know. Finally, we have new golf clubs. By the way, I will apologize ahead of time. I've had a sinus infection, I think, and so I'm a little bit congested. So if I sound that way, I apologize. Or if I have to occasionally cough, I'm apologizing ahead of time. But it's kind of been – we went through – I think it happened. You know how they talk about the weather changing? On Monday to Tuesday here in Dallas, it went from a high of like 87. The next day, the high was like 52. Well, and so it was like everybody was freezing and putting on. So I don't know if that blew
I bet you Steve Johnson isn't freezing.
No. Steve lives in a climate-controlled hemisphere that he never leaves. It's a bubble that Steve Johnson is constantly in. And he joins us now to tell us about the bubble. Steve Johnson, managing partner at Hank Haney Golf. How you doing, Stevie?
Hey, Tim. I don't care what anyone says. I think you sound great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Speaking of sounding great, I'm perhaps the worst of all your guests at radio voice. I tell you who has a great radio voice.
Okay.
Is Dickie Pride has a great radio voice.
He does.
And
really
I'm going to start developing my radio voice. I'm going to start smoking cigarettes for about the next 30 years. just like Dickie Pride.
I mean, I'm serious. I don't know. Frank, you know better than I do. Did Dickie smoke, or has he smoked, or does he smoke? Do you know?
Yeah, he used to.
I don't think
he does anymore. Yeah.
You couldn't tell by listening to him that he smoked.
Well, he practices his radio voice standing in front of the mirror, looking at his tan and his salmon-colored pullover.
And his peach sweater that he wears everywhere he goes.
He's great.
But you're right. I know it's a bad thing, but you're right. Anybody that's smoked in the past suddenly sounds like the most deep-voiced voiceover guy in the history. I know. It is what it is. But, yeah. Well, you're fine, Steve. We're glad that you're healthy. Steve, actually, Frank, is quite the health nut.
Yes.
He swims like 19 miles a day. He eats only healthy food. He doesn't drink alcohol, which I don't know why we have him on this show if he doesn't drink.
I know.
But we do.
This show is Betty Ford made for order. I know that Steve Johnson likes barbecue because he gets barbecue a lot from Hank.
You know that. On and off the air.
Mostly off.
Barbecue.
Hey, Steve, I want to bring up something to you right away to get your opinion on this, and we're going to go close to home, at least for you and I, here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. At Las Colinas Country Club is the shootout for the LPGA Tour. They're in town. And going back to the beginning of the week before the tournament began, Lexi Thompson had her news conference, and at which she was, of course, asked about what happened at the Inspirion and all the rules changes and everything else. And she actually, and I don't know if you saw this, Frank, but she broke down in trying to explain the pain she felt, which she obviously still feels about what happened. And couldn't talk for about a minute to compose herself. It was obviously still very, very raw for her to talk about it. So, Steve, the changes have been made. They're saying pretty much, okay, we're not going to listen to anybody who calls in, emails us, sees video, whatever. We're not going to do that anymore. I'm assuming you're all for that. Was it just too slow in coming? Because it cost Lexi Thompson a major championship. She said she never played any better than she did that week, and she didn't come away with a victory that everybody thought she should have had. It happened, and now that's where we're at. But did it come too slowly for the LPGA Tour, the USGA,
well,
and everybody else?
The only thing that moves more slowly in decisions is the U.S. government and the USGA and R&A. I mean, we can remember back when Craig Stadler in San Diego built himself a little platform of a little beach towel so he didn't get his pants wet underneath one of those cedar trees. And he got slapped with a penalty because somebody called in and said, hey, you know what, isn't he building himself a stance? That was a long time ago.
That was ridiculous.
And we're just now reacting, or not we, but the USGA is just now reacting to, you know, something that should have been taken care of a long, long time ago. You know, I mean, I feel bad for Lexi, but I feel bad for Anna Norquist, who, you know, is kind of the forgotten victim of this. Started last year at the U.S. Women's Open at Court d'Aval, and she was in a playoff, as we remember. She was in a fairway bunker. By the way, both of the girls were playing terribly in the playoff. She hit a bunker shot, nice bunker shot onto the green, and then three shots later, Fox, with their investigative reporting, saw that she had moved with her HD cameras a couple grains of sand. Two shots later, she gets slapped with a penalty. And they wait till after she hits her third shot, but they tell Brittany Lang before she hits her second, or before she hits her third shot. So she changed her whole strategy, which she found out she's now leading by two shots, playing into the last playoff hole. And I mean, that was, there's, you know what, the rule needed to be changed, but that's not the only thing. I mean, we can't let the USGA off the hook for really incompetence in running a tournament. And I mean, there's so many examples of that. We could look at the U.S. Open last year at Oakmont. And Jaime Diaz wrote a great article about the timeline of the final round of the U.S. Open. This guy named Romain Waddell, probably never even heard of him, plays on the European Tour, teed off at about 10:20. The greens were getting fast. We remember it rained real hard early in the week, but the course was getting firmer and faster on Sunday. On hole number two, which is a very severely sloped back-to-front green, he marked his ball, put his line in the direction he wanted to go, took the mark off, looked around a little bit more, and came back to that ball, and the ball had moved. Well, he told the official made a ruling that he did not cause that ball to move, and he replaced his, he marked it again, put the line on the ball, no penalty, moved on. The USGA, in running a tournament, should, at that point, as everyone has headphones on, everyone is talking, can hear what is being said by the officials, and they should have said, hey, guys, these greens are really, really on edge today. This was the ruling we made. We need to be consistent with that ruling, and sure enough, they weren't. When Dustin Johnson, at 5 p.m., which, you know, was considerable time, 7 hours later, his ball moves. He didn't even address the ball, and it moved. And he gets slapped with a penalty. So, I mean, let's not let the USGA off the hook on this thing.
No, not you, Steve.
I agree. I agree with him.
The rules are too, I mean, the rules have been lawyered up to the nth degree. I mean, you know, you've got rule 31/4.10. I mean, it's just, who can understand them?
I'm with you.
And Tim, when we play, we just make the rules up.
Hey,
so
you know, here's the deal. God only had 10. Come on. How many does the USGA have?
Yeah. I mean, they're finally saying that they want to make it more like the tax code, if you will, for what's going on in Washington right now. And saying, okay, it's been 28 pages. Let's just make it a couple of pages. Can we do that? And suddenly common sense at least is trying to move into both the tax code, but also the rulings in golf. And we're talking with Steve Johnson, managing partner of Hank Haney Golf. And I think we all totally agree, Steve, that it's been too complicated. It should be common sense. It should be your intent. And if you're not trying, like Lexi was not trying to give herself an advantage, she just happened to misplace the ball by an inch or so or less. And it cost her a major championship. It cost her four strokes. It was so overpenalized. So we'll see. I think it's probably getting better now.
Actually, should she not have been disqualified for signing an incorrect scorecard?
I think they changed that, though, didn't they?
She would have been if that were last year, but they changed that rule.
Yeah, they changed it so you couldn't do that. Yeah.
I like the ruling that, you know, they can't use the video replay to issue penalties. But here's what I would propose. I mean, this is a game where the players police themselves. A lot of the 90% of all of the penalties are called on the player by the player. Very few times is one of the competitors calling a penalty on a fellow competitor. It's usually that it's a self-imposed penalty usually. The officials are out there to answer questions. The officials don't jump in. The whistle blows, and they jump and say, that's a violation. That's a violation. You get a two shot. The officials don't do that. It's a different type of game. It's not basketball. It's not any other type of sport where the officials really dictate the pace of the play and the continuity of the play.
So let me ask you this, Steve. I'm talking yesterday with Art Salinger, and he and I were hanging out for a little bit and having lunch, and he brought up a point because he's just like you, even probably even more a little bit vehement about USGA and RNA and the rules.
Tell everybody who Art Salinger is.
Art Salinger is a former World Long Drive champion. He ran the World Long Drive Championships for forever and ever, and actually played in the Pro Am. And he played with whose name I can't recall. Who won? Who beat Lexi Thompson in the Experian, Steve?
Oh my God!
Remember
gosh,
a few years ago?
It was a Korean player.
Yes, okay, there you go.
That's who he played with.
That's
who he played with.
I'm saying that's who he played with in the Pro-Am. So he was right there talking. He said, and she's a wonderful girl, and it certainly was not her fault or anything, but he happened to be listening to her side of what happened.
Let's back up just a second here, Jim.
Okay.
Jim, let's back. You're a professional reporter. You bring up somebody's name, and as an example, and you can't even come with the name?
No, it wasn't a part of my pregame. I wasn't intending to bring this part up.
Steve channeling his inner Hank.
Okay, wait a second. In 3, 2, 1. Okay, let's begin.
So he played with her, so he got a lot of insight into it, and he was talking about that. That being the case, he went off on what happened, just like we were all talking about, what happened with Lexi Thompson. And he said, here's his analogy. He said, I don't know in today's day and age, why are today's golfers, with all the technology we have and all the people that are around, why are they still with pen and paper keeping their own or their opponents, their playing partners, scores, hand scores? Nobody does that. He says, it's not like Roger Federer is playing Nadal, and they're like, hey, wait a minute, isn't it 30 all? No, I got a 30, like you do with your friend. There's somebody who actually keeps the score for them. They're not trying to keep their own score.
He's putting hash marks on the clay court.
Yes. They're not disputing what the score is, and he's not sitting there saying, hey, that ball was out. No, it wasn't, like you do when you play with your buddies and you're playing tennis. And it's a good point because they're competitors, but there's somebody else there who's ruling it. Somebody else needs to keep the score, his point is, for everybody. There's electronics. There's people there that keep the score. Don't ask these guys to have a big thing in the back of their pocket. And tradition has gotten us to right where we're at. And that's why we complain about this, because a lot of people didn't want to change any rules.
Technology has gotten us to where we're at, not tradition.
Yeah, but people didn't want to change because, well, this is the way that the world's been, that you make your own rules, or the ball oscillates, it's your fault. And all the things that had been since 1910, they wanted to keep it going. At some point, you have to update about what's going on. And that was his point, and I don't disagree that if you want referees or you want people there to keep everybody's score, they see every shot, they see what's going on, then you don't have to worry about a guy calling it on himself or someone else calling it, or, God forbid, somebody calling in on it. So I liked it. I like his analogy. Yeah.
Can we talk just a little bit about
what was that girl's name again?
In her interview at the Volunteer of America tournament here in Dallas.
Yeah.
One of the things she did not say, she did not admit that she made a mistake. She said she was going to continue to market. The emotion that she displayed in that interview, you can tell that there's a lot of issues underneath the surface. Like, she's probably thinking, you know what, there's a lot of other women that do exactly what I did, and I'm getting singled. It cost me a major championship. It cost me a tournament that I want to jump in Poppy's pond. But who doesn't? But the thing that surprised me, Tim, was that she didn't say, you know what, I learned from it. I'm going to be more careful next time. Obvious. I mean, everyone that's looked at it, everyone from Brandel Chamblee to to Frank Bassett that looked at that video knows that she did move the ball. And it wasn't, she didn't put it as close as she could have put it back to the original position. I don't know why. She said the greens were perfect. It was a 9-inch putt. She didn't want to step in somebody's line. I mean, there were a lot of issues there, but when a person 3 weeks after the fact still draws up the type of emotion that she draws up, you know that there's a lot below the surface, and I'm going to go out to that tournament today, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Listen, quick question.
Thank you.
Quick, didn't, when the PGA Tour Champions was called the Senior Tour, Bob Toski was playing on it. Was there not an issue with Bob Toski and how he marked the ball? Do you remember that, guys?
Yeah, but that goes back a long time. You know, Jack Nicklaus didn't name any names, but he said that there was a few guys that did cheat on the PGA Tour, and they got together and they said something to those two people, or the small group of people that they did confront off the record, and it definitely changed the way they played. So, I mean, I like that technique better than airing it out on social media or airing it out in the press.
Yep.
I mean, in golf especially, the players are supposed to protect the field and police their fellow competitors. But like I said before, 90% of all the calls are made on yourself.
Well, you know, former Tulane University grad, undergrad, and he transferred to Alabama after Hurricane Katrina, Michael Thompson is playing this week in New Orleans. I would love to hear him. I've not heard his take on that situation, but I bet he's, knowing Michael, he's a pretty outspoken guy anyway. I would love to hear what he has to say about this.
And by the way, breaking news, they just found Gary Player's ball from the British Open that he said that he found. They just found that ball right now, by the way.
I
knew you were going to bring it up.
Are you serious? Breaking news.
Hey, Steve, before I let you go, changing gears here a little bit. What do you think about the format at the Zurich Classic of New Orleans? I think it's great, and I think if you're one of those mid-level tournaments, like most of the tournaments on the tour are, they're kind of just thrown in there and nobody really sees anything that's special about it versus other tournaments. To do a format change like this and have teams, two-man teams, as they're doing right now at Zurich, I think it's a pretty cool thing. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, I cannot believe that the team of Jordan Spieth and Ryan Palmer are winning right now. They're 1-under for the day. They're 7-under for the tournament. Today, you know, they have on Thursday and Saturday, it's an alternate shot format. So they decide who's going to tee off the first hole, who's going to tee off the odd number holes, who's going to tee off the even number holes, and then they alternate shots all the way to the hole. They shot 6-under yesterday, Tim, alternating shots like that. It's unbelievable.
That's powerful.
Now, if they shot 6-under yesterday at alternate shot, I mean, they could shoot 59 today in best ball.
Yeah. Yeah, they could. I mean, the way they're off to a good start, as you said this morning, a lot of guys are playing well, but they're tied for the lead with the team of Charlie Hoffman, Nick Watney, and then Jonas Blix and Cameron Smith are playing well. But I think, and they got to pick their partners. It wasn't like there was a, you know, take it out of a hat and we match you up. You get to, so there's your two Dallas-Fort Worth area guys that are playing that are friends,
but
Palmer and Spieth. And it's kind of cool that friends get to play with friends.
Tim, I know we've heard the bet that they were playing a game, just practicing. And one of the caddies said, hey, if Ryan beats you today, you need to play with him at Zurich. But, you know, they're two players from different generations. I've never seen Ryan on a brocation. He wasn't invited to the foursome of Ricky Fowler and Smiley Kaufman, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth.
Well, they're buddies, though. He was at his charity tournament. Ryan played in Spieth's the Spieth Family Foundation event that we attended.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
he was.
Buddies. I wonder if he has his JBL flip in the golf bag playing country music like he did in Dallas.
Yeah, I think he would.
Maybe.
I mean, it's
maybe.
Yeah.
But
it's just I didn't know they were
buddies.
I didn't either. Yeah, I didn't know that they're that close, cuz you're right. He's not there with Ricky and Smiley and Justin Thomas like the other guys. But then again, if I'm not mistaken, I believe Ryan is a bit older, married. So it's a different kind of friendship, right? He's not one of the single bachelor guys that go out on these things, because he's kind of more a family guy. But I think, they obviously like each other and been friends and somehow know how to, win and play well together. So I think it's a, I think it's a really good idea. I don't know if we'll see other formats on the tour, but it's I think it's really cool to see a difference in the first time. What'd you say, Frank? 30-something years since they played team tournament like this?
It's been 36 years since the PGA Tour has had an official team event. 36 years. The last one, it was 81, Walt Disney World National Team Championship.
By the way, Steve, just to correct your mistake from earlier, So-Yun Ryu is the one who won the ANA Inspiration. Get that straight next time, would you?
That Art Salinger played with, right?
Exactly. You've heard of her. There you go. That's the one.
Now I know who she is.
That's her.
Tim, let me ask you a question. Are you going to go do some investigative reporting at the Volunteer of America? Since it is in our backyard, 90 of the top 100 players on the LPGA Tour there.
Yes.
Are you going to go see if Lydia Ko fires her caddy after this round?
I might get out there.
And rehires Ledbetter.
Yeah, I think what's the story there, too, while we're digging on this? Isn't she on, like, her 10th caddy in 2 years or 3 years?
Nine. She's had nine caddies in 2 years.
Wow.
The last caddy was a journeyman PGA Tour caddy. His name's Gary Matthews. He's lives here in Dallas. He's a great caddy from New Zealand. He had the connection there, you know, the New Zealand connection. He was one of the top junior players when he was a junior.
But why is she going through so many caddies?
What's that?
Why is she going through so many caddies?
You know what? Now she said her reason. Now, she didn't actually. This is a typical player. This is the MO of a player. She didn't fire the caddy. The agent called and fired the caddy. Now, here's how it went down for Gary Matthews.
Okay.
They were playing in a tournament, and next week was the Hawaii tournament. Well, Gary gets a phone call after the tournament before Hawaii, and they said, hey, you know what? Lydia's going to make a change here. We just want to let you know you guys have played nine tournaments together. You've got five top tens, but she's going to make a change. But you can go caddy for this next week in Hawaii. And Gary's thinking, what the heck? I'm fired, but I can still work. I can still go.
What is that all about?
I mean, it was a weird deal.
Wow.
Yeah.
It seems like she's a really nice person. I mean, I don't know her, but it seems like she's not that. She doesn't seem to have that reputation of being difficult. But something's not working there.
You know, she said she's just turned 20 years old. She said she wants to have fun. One of her thoughts was maybe she'd have a friend caddy for her because she wants to have fun on the course. Well, Gary is a very quiet guy. He's a very intense guy. There's not a lot of joking around going on. He's not like Michael Collins carrying the bag, joking around all the time. He's very serious. He used to caddy for a buddy of his, Brendan DeYoung, on the PGA Tour. Well, you couldn't find two more serious guys on the golf course than those two guys. And it was, you know, she should have known that going in, that he was a serious guy. If she wanted to go have fun and have someone tell her jokes and do stand up while they were playing,
she should hire me.
Gary's not the guy for that.
I'm available. Yeah. I'll caddy.
So it's going to be short lived, is what you're saying. This will last a couple of weeks, and it's just a curious thing. I mean, she wins. She's number one in the world. She's obviously very good, but she does it with different caddies. It seems almost kind of unbelievable that you can have that many different voices in your head during
you're talking
a couple
about
of years.
A gal that played nine tournaments, that's finished top 10 five times, is in a slump. But, you know, I mean, everyone that knows her thinks she is in a slump. So I can't wait. I'm going to go out there today. I'll hopefully see her play a little bit see the headliner on the LPGA Tour, Michelle Wee.
I'll try to see you out there, Steve, because it's only about 15 minutes, the golf course, from both you and I. And so we can get out there pretty easily. A lot of stuff happening in Dallas, Fort Worth.
We've struck up a relationship with the LPGA by virtue of our media event in French Lick this past weekend for the Senior LPGA Championship.
Right.
So you need to get out there, Tim, and keep smoothing this relationship. They want us to do a show on LPGA.com now. So there you go.
Really?
Yes.
Well, there you go.
Senior LPGA.
Yes, the inaugural Senior LPGA Championship will be held at French Lick in July. What they're going to do, which is neat, Steve, is they're going to have, you know, well, Michelle McGann, Jan Stevenson was there, Jane Blaylock, 299 straight tournaments making the cut. 299.
For Jane Blaylock, is that right?
Yeah. Anyway, so they're going to have the tournament there, but what they're going to do is bring in the Symetra girls. So they're going to play on the Donald Ross course at French Lick, and the LPGA, the senior LPGA ladies, will play on the French Lick Pete Dye course. And then they're going to combine some of the super seniors with them. So it's going to be a mixed event of the future of the LPGA and the history of the LPGA, which will be really neat. But they struck up a deal with us.
I tell you what, man, they ought to do some skin analysis out there, man. They've got some, those gals, those old gals have been out in the sun a long time.
Oh, Lord.
And, man, that is not going to be pretty.
Oh, no.
Thanks, Steve.
This is really good.
Wow. I know. That'll be helping us, Steve. We appreciate it. Before you go, Steve, I need...
The grape and the raisin division.
Well, I guess our relationship with the LPGA is over.
Wow, there you go.
You can just go ahead.
And by the way,
take that off.
Krippa is over.
Let's X that out of the show.
It's going.
Yeah, let's get that out.
It's going, baby.
And by the way, we got to be fair. I mean, the Tom Kites of the world have seen their, and the Hank Haneys have seen their share of some sun damage too. Let's be honest, okay?
Hey,
Steve,
man,
fair is fair.
Too personal.
Hey,
too personal.
Hank is sun damage. Tom Kites. Tom always wore that goofy hat, so. You know,
Didn't do enough. Yeah, and Steve, by the way, has done a good job. For one of those guys out on a golf course forever, and Steve is pushing 70 now. He's looking pretty good. Good job, Steve. You're hanging in there.
It's my genetics, Tim. It's a good genetics.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. Hey, by the way, I got to ask you before we let you go.
Oh, Lord.
Taco Charlton. What's that mean to you? Taco Charlton.
Taco
is
what?
Friday special at
Taco Bell.
That is the Dallas Cowboys' number one pick last night in the NFL draft. Is defensive end Taco Charlton from Michigan?
How does the guy get that? That's got to be a nickname.
It is. It's a nickname. Yeah.
Well, what's his real name?
That's a really good question. I'm not even sure.
Johan Wu.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm really bad with names today.
Frank, here's another time. That's a second violation in one segment that he brings up a name and he doesn't know what.
We bring in
Soyoung Ru.
He doesn't know the name.
We bring in Tim Matthews, CBS Sports, professional broadcaster, to hold
this
show together.
What the heck is wrong with you?
And he's just like brain damaged. Dane Bramage.
He actually talked about it last night. His mother and his grandmother gave him that nickname, but for the life of me, I don't remember what his real name was because all they kept saying was Taco. So, wow. I don't know. Number one pick, by the way, Miles Garrett, out of Arlington Martin High School here in Dallas. So it's like the Mecca. Dallas is here, the Mecca of everything that's going on in the world of sports. NFL draft last night was a big deal. Cleveland Browns had three number one picks.
And Tony Romo is now the national spokesperson for North American Van Lines, right?
Tony Romo will be now co-hosting the show with Hank Haney now that he's a professional broadcaster. Yeah. See how that works out.
He would be good.
I can't believe Tony Romo is going
to
be sitting.
He needs to start smoking, though.
That's what the network does. They get you on cigarettes as soon as they give you that gig.
And oh, my gosh.
Soyoung Ru. Steve, Soyoung Ru is the name
of that lady. I'm tattooing that on my arm right now.
Yeah. right next to Taco. Put both those names on your arms. We'll never forget them.
All right, guys. Well, Tim, I will see you at the tournament this afternoon. We'll be doing our investigative reporting, doing some sideline interviews, and look forward to it.
I'm going
to
call Erin Andrews and have her help you all out. How's that?
We'll do it. We got to cool Steve off. Maybe next week, Steve. We got something hot coming up. We'll talk to you again next week. Is that good?
Sounds good.
Thanks, Steve.
Perfect. All right. Take care.
Talk to you later.
Y'all have fun today.
Have a great weekend. See ya.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Frank's great. He's great.
He asked me. Yeah. He asked me.
He's got your number.
He's on totally. Well, he asked me. I'm going to be on with him. He's doing Hank's show on Sirius XM all next week. And he said, hey, I want you to come on like four or five times. I said, okay.
There you go.
So I guess I'll be kind of co-hosting his show with him next
week. Because one day I'm going to call in and just totally disrupt y'all's show while you're doing
it.
I'm going to call in and say, my name's Taco. I'm down here in Tennessee.
Yeah.
Live next door to Poncho's Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, throw some quizzes like, Tim, what's the name of – I have no idea what the name of anybody is.
Danny Briggs, former PGA Tour player, now assistant head golf coach at Middle Tennessee State University. Danny's a friend, lives in the Nashville area, plays golf with Vince Gill every other day. They're best friends. Briggs was one of the original people on the three-man hosting of Golf Talk America when it first started. And right. we would always, Danny was our linguistic expert. He couldn't pronounce Smith. So we would always throw, let's go to the Asian tour and the China series and have Danny Briggs give us a rundown of what's happening. And it was just 12 minutes of comedy. I mean, it was great. So,
By the way, I do have to.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I do have to get some things right here because I do mess up names. But his given name, this is the reason that Taco's name is Taco. His given name is Vidante.
Oh, yeah. He got beat up a lot.
Vidante Charlton. I'd go with Taco, too.
Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
Well, we're not going to talk about nicknames because I have one. Yeah. But, hey, you know, I got to tell you, though, really interestingly enough, 36 years since they've had – I didn't realize it's been that long since the 1981 Walt Disney World National Team Championship. Yeah.
I wonder why that is. It would seem like the players would really enjoy the difference. Yeah. The players would like it.
Well, Ben Crane, Nashville native – not native, but Nashville resident now. Ben said yesterday, he said he was very nervous about the style of event. But he said he'd had more fun than he's had in years out there yesterday.
I'll bet. Yeah, I'll bet. So, because it's like, you know, Justin Rose is playing with Henrik Stenson. And I'm not sure how tight they are on the European side of things when they get together. They compete against each other in the Olympics. There was a gold and silver medalist in the Olympics.
They're having a blast because they're both really funny guys. I mean, Henrik Stenson, people don't realize, has one vicious
very
sense
dry
of humor.
Sense of humor.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Jason Day is playing with Ricky Fowler. And if you saw their pre-match on Wednesday news conference, Jason said that they had a meeting so that everybody could get together with caddies and everybody and have some kind of strategy because they needed to because it's a team thing. He said, but Ricky couldn't make it because he was with his beautiful girlfriend that night. And Ricky takes his hat off and puts it over his face like he's laughing. So they're obviously having a great time with it. The fact that they're playing each other's shots, and Jason was kind of explaining the feeling you're just talking about, which is, hey, sorry, bud, I put you in the trees. Now it's your turn. Get out of the trees. It's up to you. He said, but that's the way golf is. It's kind of sometimes you miss a putt that the guy gives you to tap in or get a three-footer for the par or birdie, and you miss it. You feel bad for the guy. But then again, you also come through for your teammates sometimes. You feel really good. So I think it's a great thing, and it's a perfect kind of tournament, like I said, to do it because otherwise Zurich Classic, fine tournament, great people putting it together and everything else. But it doesn't stand out. It's not something that people – look forward to, like at Pebble Beach or some other tournaments that have something special going on. It's just another tournament for a lot of people. So you got a top field. I mean, you got guys playing in this that may normally not want to play because it's a rare chance to play a different format. So I applaud the people at Zurich for doing it.
Yeah. And speaking of tournaments, you know, our good sponsor, Golf Genius Software, they do tournament software, and they also work with the USGA. They've collaborated with them to revamp the entire Gen system. Nationwide, but golfgenius.com, go check them out, because if you're a pro or you're anyone out there who puts together a team event, your buddy's going on a golf trip, whatever, Golf Genius Software covers all the tournament management basics, but also offers great WOW features like online event registration, live scoring, using the Golf Genius mobile app, which Steve talked about and you talked about. It's now technology. Live TV leaderboards, a huge variety of competitive formats, integration with your existing golf shop software, and an easy-to-create custom website for each of your events. So golfgenius.com, Golf Genius Software. And
you know, Frank, that's a good,
I received a phone call yesterday and just saw it late last night. Just saw yours. So I apologize. And I haven't gotten to see a lot of golf because – DirecTV wanted to put a dish in the middle of my backyard on a pole. Yes. And I said, no. So they didn't have a 40-foot ladder to get up on the roof. So I'm still without modern technology. I'm having to watch it on my iPad and stream it to my Apple TV. But guess what? It works pretty doggone good.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm just mad at DirecTV right now. So
I was gonna mention, when you're talking about Golf Genius, two points came to my mind. One is exactly what I was saying, and what Art Selinger is referring to, is that somebody like Golf Genius should be keeping everybody's score on the PGA Tour, not letting these guys or telling them to keep their own score. Let Golf Genius do it. So that's just a thought. I'm just saying they already have a relationship with the USGA, so maybe Golf Genius could take over the whole tour and keep everybody's score, and that way if there's a dispute, it's a dispute with the scorekeeper and not with each other trying to.
That's a good idea. Maybe I'll give Mike Zeisman a call. He's the CEO of Golf Genius.
And tell them Art recommends it, and I'm sure that'll carry a lot of weight with the USGA.
It. Art says this is what you guys should be doing.
Exactly, while he's at his home club, Marion, playing golf.
And my second point was when you're talking about Golf Genius, and I was thinking about we talked a lot about Golf Genius, had one of their people on when we were at the Masters doing our live broadcast for that week. But we also had a few other people on, including our good friend Will Backus from Canoes. That's the boat shoe with the soft spikes underneath it.
Those are so cool.
And media day for the Byron Nelson was this past Tuesday, which I was playing in. And,
was he there?
And no, but Will had mentioned to me, by the way, just kind of arbitrarily, that he was discontinuing some colors. Remember, because they had the cool Masters green, they have black, they have different colors in those shoes, and they're discontinuing red. And I said, oh, that's the color of the Salesmanship Club, which is the charity organization that helps put on the Byron Nelson here. I said, they wear red pants everywhere. That's how you know who they are. They've always got red pants. Those red shoes would have been perfect with those. He goes, we're discontinuing the red, but we have like 100 pair. Long story short, he said, mention it to him. I did. I mentioned to the chairman of the Salesmanship Club. He's now contacting the guys at Canoes about possibly buying their their final allotment of red canoe golf shoes that they can wear when they're on the, because they're very, very comfortable shoes. You could wear them anywhere, and that's just for golf.
They're
so
great. I have the red.
Maybe that connection will work.
And the green ones and the gray ones. But yeah. I like the red ones. They're cool. But
yeah.
I want yellow. I want yellow canoes.
Oh, they make yellow? I didn't see
No,
that.
They don't. I didn't
oh,
see
you just want them to.
I think yellow would be cool. Anyway, yeah. Another, talking about the Masters, Marcus Brunell, he's the CEO, owner, proprietor, founder of Azalea House, our sponsor on the road, called me and didn't leave a message, so I've got to get back to him. It's just been, it's been crazy trying to get reorganized here, but hopefully we're back on track. And for our listeners out there, we'll be posting many more shows, getting ready for the Players' Championship, the biggie, my home. That's a home game for me. All my friends, I say all my friends, a lot of my friends live in Ponte Vedra and the Jacksonville area, and I'm looking forward to getting down there and harassing our executive producer, Dave Logue, for the entire week. And Earl Forsey will be there on site with us, so I'll walk by and say, Redskins suck. By the way, who did the Redskins pick last night?
You know, it's a really good question, I will have an answer for you shortly.
The next show.
But yeah. At some point in time, I will have an answer for you. I didn't see who they took. It was a strong defensive draft. I know that much. Almost everybody was going with defensive players for a lot of reasons, and that's certainly the Cowboys.
Is that your cell phone going off in the background?
Yeah, it is. The Redskins took Jonathan Allen, defensive end from Alabama.
There you go. Okay.
Dickie's going to be happy about that. Yeah. Alabama.
Well, Dickie's working this week, so we'll have to harass him via text and Twitter while he's on the air. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun.
The pride of the Southland Band, I think is what they call Alabama's band. So Dickie Pride is now the pride of the Southland. There you go, our boy.
Hang on, I've got some other props for you here too, Frank. I was noticing this too. Yeah, your Rebs had a first round pick. The Giants took Mississippi tight end Evan Engram.
Engram. Well, Evan Engram's pretty powerful tight end. He's the best we've ever had.
Yeah.
And he's going to be with the having a rebel quarterback throw the football to him.
Exactly right.
So unlike his brother Peyton, who went to Tennessee. Jeez, Rocky
well, you
top,
live in Tennessee.
Stupid. I know,
you hate,
but I hate Tennessee. No, I don't hate Tennessee. I'll take that back. I'm sorry, folks. I don't hate Tennessee. I just love Ole Miss. Yeah. I mean, it's my school.
And it's not your favorite school.
UT is not my favorite school, and orange is not my favorite color. and I don't like – Coonhound dogs either. I like Bogey the Wonder Dog, who's my German Schnauzer. So there's not much about Tennessee. I like Nashville's kind of neat place, but if we can get the rain to stop, I can't go play golf because everything's so soggy out here. I need roll.
Wow.
I need roll. You know.
And you need a dish on your roof.
And by the way, shout out to our good friend Chuck Garbedian, who is in Wisconsin, ESPN up there. Chuck Garbedian on golf, and you can catch him on iHeart. Chuck helped. Hold down. He's the professional, so he held down your spot when we couldn't get connected to you on Monday from French Lick.
Yeah.
So that went well. And Chuck played golf with Chuck. He worked with me for about six holes straight, and boy, I started really hitting the ball well. Good. I've only played a few times this year because of everything going on. And so Garbedian, buddy, you're the best, and can't wait to get up there to see you.
Nice.
We're going to be up in his neck of the woods, be in Michigan this summer, doing some shows from a resort somewhere. You and I are going to go up there. You just found that out on the air, but
yeah,
it looks like that's a done deal. So,
okay,
we'll be up in Traverse City in that area, which is gorgeous. So,
and anyway, Michigan loves their golf. Michigan loves their golf.
They have tons of golf courses in Michigan.
Yeah, I think like the most in the country. People are shocked by that, but I believe I'm right on that. That I've read that stat that Michigan has the most golf courses in the entire country per state. Something like 800 and something golf courses. So despite the fact that it seems like they're shut down, you know, wintertime for a long, long time, they live and die for their golf in Michigan. So,
and yeah, the Kentucky Derby is coming up very quickly here. So AzaleaHospitality.com, if you haven't gotten your Kentucky Derby plans in, AzaleaHospitality.com, check them out.
Get to the great
Derby.
Events.
That's a great event. It's a great event.
But that's what Azalea does. Azalea's at all the big events. They are. Super Bowls and Ryder Cups and Masters and Kentucky Derby. Yeah. That's what they're really good at.
Hey, by the way, forgot about this too. Shout out to Nikon. I used the new Nikon, their top of the line rangefinder, this past week at French Lick. Awesome. Awesome.
Year. And how did you get that, by the way, Frank? I'm curious.
They sent it to me.
Oh,
do you want
really?
It? I'll give it to you if you want it.
No, they sent you one. I would think if they sent you one, you'd say, no, hey, I need two.
Well, I'll send you this one. I have
another one. I've got one.
Which one do you have? No, don't say that name. I know which one you have. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know which one. Yeah,
okay. Whatever.
I like it, though. I like it. And by the way, that should be a rule change on the PGA Tour. We're talking about speed of game and everything else. Let the guys pull out. They do it for practice rounds.
Yeah.
The caddies get it to get their yardages down and everything. So obviously it's functional. It's something to use. Well, let them use it during a tournament.
And turn
you're
off slope.
There.
Turn off slope. It's a game of honor, right? Police yourself. So turn the slope off because that's a little unfair when you start calculating that.
But the fairness of almost any rule is if everybody gets to do it, then it makes most everything fair, right? If somebody's doing something that nobody else can do or they're trying to – that's cheating. That's when you get away with something that other people can't do. But if everybody has the same rules, if everybody gets a rangefinder, it would speed things up.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see the guys having to walk 8 paces to a sprinkler head or to a bush or to whatever. Let them do it. I mean, why make them –
You're right. You know what they say in NASCAR? If you ain't bumping, you ain't racing.
Exactly.
So there you go. They're cheating NASCAR.
We try, Frank. We try. We're trying to get that age lowered on the PGA Tour champions to 45.
Never going
to
happen. That's not.
We've got our points. We got our points, and I keep.
Why would those guys 50 plus that are out there right now want that to happen?
They wouldn't. But the guys that are on the PGA Tour would make the ruling. They would say to themselves, "You know what? There's a lot of Dickie Prides out there who are tweeners, and they
Paul Stankowski."
They kind of faded away. They're not really relevant on the PGA Tour anymore. But they're only 42 or 43. And they're like, okay, I got to wait 6 years, 7 years, and keep playing. So they get into something else, and they stop playing golf. If you made it 45, they'd be ready to go.
Let's start a new tour. There's room for one more.
We'll start a tour, and you have to be 45.
The Golf Talk
Once you're
America
46,
tour,
you're
45
done.
To 50, the Golf Talk America tour. We'll get that off right here in Nashville.
Guys would love that. There's a lot of really good golfers. There's names such as Justin Leonard. Who have been big time winners and won majors and been Ryder Cups and everything else. But they can't hit the ball as far anymore. They lose it, and a lot of them do when they're 44.
How old's our friend Bobby Clampett? I don't know off the top of my head.
Bobby's in his 50s. I remember he said something about that.
Yeah, I think he is.
He talked about playing in a couple of Champions Tours events when we had him at the PGA Merchandise
Show. People forget. I mean, Bobby had a stellar amateur career. It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
not as
yeah.
successful on the PGA Tour as he was as
no.
an amateur, but
he only won.
But he's a heck of a player.
I think he only won one tournament. So a lot of people bring him up on the tour, bring him up as, boy, that was kind of a disappointing professional career because he had such a great and I think probably maybe he was built up too much as an amateur, but he had a great amateur career. And everybody thought he was going to be the next Johnny Miller. Remember that he was? This guy's going to win 20
and
tournaments.
Greg Norman was the next Jack Nicklaus, and
always somebody.
Well, I would like to see statistics on, and we'll have our PGA Tour staff get this to us. I want to see how many of these players who have just one victory, what their top tens were, top 20s. I'd like to see that number because I bet it's really high.
Yeah, I'm also curious because I know we've talked about this. What the percentage of golf professionals, go back 40 years, whatever you want to do, how many on the tour, what percentage have actually won a tournament? Because I think it's a pretty low number. I think most of your tour pros don't win. They can stay on the tour, and there's a lot of them that hang in for a long time because they're top 10s and top 20s and enough to keep their cards, but they don't actually win tournaments. It's very hard to win on the PGA Tour.
Well, do you remember when Tom Kite was the best player to have not won a major?
Sure.
Forever. And he was a millionaire in those days when the money was a lot lower.
Yeah,
he was still a millionaire on the PGA Tour because of all of his top 10 finishes, but he had not won a major. And when he won the Players' Championship, in those days it was called the TPC at Sawgrass, I asked him afterwards at the party, I said, so Tom, how do you feel? Do you feel like this is a major? He said, you bet I feel like this is a major. And that tournament coming up, I mean, it's not the fifth major. They don't want to be known as the fifth major. But it is the best field in all of golf, played on the same venue, a la Augusta, which is an invitational. So the Players' Championship, it's the top players in the world that play
and
in that.
It has all the drama that you have in the major, too, because you see not only how tough the course is that they have to play, but when it comes down to Sunday and it comes down to that back nine, you've got a very similar feeling than you would at any major, U.S. Open and PGA Championship. Yeah. Uh-oh. With all that drama, especially on 16, 17, 18.
They're telling us we got to go. They're telling us we got to go.
Really?
I
got so much more to say.
No.
So much more.
No. Let's get out of here.
Oh, my God. We're done. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We appreciate each and every one of you for making us the top show on PGA Tour Radio. We love each and every one of you. Thank you to Steve Johnson with Hank Haney Golf for being with us as well. For Frank Bassett, I'm Tim Matthews. Thanks for being here, and please join us next time on Golf Talk America.